Public hearing is subdivision 2018-1 Acadia. Carlton O. Dorman, Michael A. Hazard, Linda Worup, and Stephen Hazard.
Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, just for the record, I'm not going to participate in this hearing this evening, so.
Okay. We'll dock your pay accordingly.
Thank you. This is a cluster subdivision. The cluster subdivision is to divide 117.21 acres plus or minus into 234 single-family lots to be located in a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County. The property is lying on the southeast corner of Conley's Chapel Road and Dorman Road and on the northwest side of Robinsonville Road south of Conley's Chapel Road. The tax parcels are District 234, Map 11, Parcel 60, Parcel 62.03 and 64. The zoning is AR1 Agricultural Residential District. Staff would submit for the record the subdivision plan, the exhibit booklet. The application went to TAC, our Technical Advisory Committee, and received comments back from the Sussex Conservation District, the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division, the Sussex County Engineering Department Public Works Division, DLDOT, the USDA NRCS, DENREC Division of Air Quality and Groundwater Discharge, the Delaware Electric Co-op, and the Office of State Fire Marshal. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Is there anyone here representing this application, Mr. Willer?
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. I got to put on my glasses. They get worse every day.
Happens all of us.
Yeah. For the record, my name is Tim Willard with the firm of Fuqua Willard Stevens and Schaub. We have offices here in Georgetown and in Lewis and Rehoboth as well. I'm here on behalf of the applicant, Insight Land Company, LLC. With me tonight is Jack Hayes, who is Vice President and Chief Financial Officer of Insight. Over here is Brock Parker of Parker Associates, a civil engineer and land planner. His offices are in Salisbury, but he's a licensed here in Delaware as well. And next to him is Betty Tustin, and she's a project manager with the traffic group. As you've heard from your director, there's a pretty meaty booklet that's been submitted as an exhibit as part of the record containing a summary of the proposed subdivision and supporting documents, including the applicant's plus response, as well as the 99.9C requirements. And that's also enumerated in section 6, if you're looking for that, a specific response from the engineer. I intend to go through the application and the exhibits, and I'm looking at Ms. Cornwell. Oh, we also have PowerPoint.
Can you move your mic up a little bit? Thank
closer?
You.
Okay. Does that have a clicker thing that I'm supposed to click it through, or you can do it for me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll move along.
Mr. Fuqua is actually more advanced than you are with the computer stuff. That's amazing.
I do that on purpose to make him look
make
good.
Make him look good?
Because he's getting a little long in the tooth.
Uh-huh.
So.
Yeah.
Let me just start by summarizing. This is an application for an AR1 cluster subdivision to be called Acadia. The property is not an environmentally sensitive development district. The development will be comprised of 234 single-family lots and recreational amenities on three parcels of land containing 117.2 acres. I'm going to go to the property now in the surrounding area. The land is located north of Route 24 and has road frontage on Robinsonville Road on the east on its east side, Dorman Road and Conley's Chapel on its west side. The land is cleared and has been in agricultural use for some time. There is no wetland on this property. The north side of the site is adjacent to the rear of a number of parcels varying in size from 2 acres to 5 acres used for residential and farming. The south side of the property borders the Wyndham and Holly Oak residential developments. There are a number of other residential developments in the area surrounding the site, including Conley's Chapel Village, Chapel Green, Tallgrass Estates, Egret Estates, Richfield Acres, Lockwood, and recently approved Headwater Cove and Burton Pond developments. Again, as I said, this land is zoned AR1. It's a residential cluster subdivision with a minimum lot size of 7,500 square feet as a permitted use, provided the development is served by central water and sewer. The water for Acadia in the subdivision will be provided domestic water, that is, and fire protection from Tide Water Utilities, a regulated public utility company that has a certificate of public conveyance and necessity to provide water service in the area. Their letter indicating they can provide services in Appendix B of your booklet. Sewer will be provided by Sussex County. A portion of the property is located within the sewer planning area of Angola Neck portion of the county sewer district. An application has been filed for annexation of the site into the sewer district. I believe that's Appendix J. It's a letter dated June 23rd. In addition to Acadia, there are several other proposed subdivisions that are proposed to be annexed into county sewer district, and the applicant is working with the county engineer department to determine the best and most efficient design for extension of the sewer. This effort most likely will result in construction of a new central pump station, the cost of which would be shared by the developers on a pro rata basis. There are no wetlands on the property. A wetland investigation was conducted by Ed Linnae, who I think is in the audience tonight, but not for this application, but he's here, of Environmental Resources, Inc., which determined that there were no state, federally regulated waters or wetlands located on the property. There was a environmental phase one done. I believe that's in section two. By Brightfields, Inc., Environmental Services, which found that there were no hazardous substances or other recognized environmental conditions present on the site. As far as the traffic impact, a traffic impact study was done by the traffic group, which was reviewed and accepted by DLDOT in accordance with the TIS. DLDOT will require the applicant to do the following. Access on Robinsonville Road will include widening to provide a tie-in into Delaware Route 24. Access on Dorman Road will require the widening of the road with shoulders on site frontage. The applicant will improve Robinson Road, Dorman Road, and Conley Chapels Road to provide 11-foot travel lanes and 5-foot shoulders each way within the limits of the site frontage. On Robinsonville Road, the improvements would extend south to tie in with other DLDOT improvements. DLDOT may require contribution to DLDOT through 24 Robinson Road, Angola Road intersection project, as well as contributions to Camp Arrowhead Road, Fairfield Road intersection project. To restate that, they will for the connection to Angola Road and Route 24, but the intersection of Camp Arrowhead, Fairfield, which is not right there, close to the property, there may be some contribution there, and the developer knows that. The contribution would be based on the percentage of additional traffic volume related to several planned developments. Let me focus on Dorman for a second, where Dorman comes into Conley Chapel.
Sir, we can't understand you. Can you use the mic?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay. I didn't know if I was too close. Is it not loud enough?
No, it's not loud enough.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I can't hear you.
It sounds loud up here. I don't know if there's...
No, it's coming from...
Is that better?
That's good.
Well, I just stated that the intersections around the property will all be improved and the developer will participate in that. Specifically, as to the Dorman Road where it connects to Conley's Chapel, the developer will dedicate a right-of-way and construct a relocation of a portion of Dorman Road in order to create a 90-degree intersection at the Dorman Road-Conley's Chapel Road intersection. Presently, that intersection is on an angle, creating some safety issues. And you can see there a depiction of where it would bring it into more perpendicular to Conley Chapels, which is a requirement that DLDOT recommends. There will also be bicycle lane adjacent to the right turn lane on Robinsonville Road, 15-foot easements on site frontage with shared use paths will be on Robinsonville Road, and both of the development entrances will be constructed in accordance with DLDOT standards. There are a couple slides in there that maybe we can go forward to that show the current Angola-Robinsonville connection. That's another depiction of straightening up Dorman's Road, so it's more of a right angle. And if you can go forward, yeah, that's the intersection now of Robinsonville and Route 24. And I think there's one that goes forward. And if to the left, if you're looking at that slide, that's Robinsonville as it's coming in. And not unlike the Dorman Road, there's going to be an attempt, in addition, to provide more turning lanes there, but also to straighten it out so it's more efficient. Mainly the more turn lanes will make it much more efficient. If I could turn now to stormwater. Sediment and stormwater management facilities will be designed and constructed in accordance with DENREC regulations and will be reviewed and approved by Sussex County Conservation District. The facilities will be utilize stormwater best management practices to reduce the impacts of stormwater by providing retention areas throughout the subdivision, utilizing infiltration and slow release practices in accordance with DENREC guidelines to manage stormwater and enhance groundwater discharge. There's a northern, in the northern portion of the site plan, and maybe you could go to that. Yeah, we can leave that. The northern portion in the top left-hand corner where the pond and the entrance and two stormwater ponds, that's what I'm addressing right now. And it's just about that portion where there's the round pond. It was pointed out in the plus comments that the northern tip of the property falls within a wellhead protection area for wells owned by Tidewater Utilities, and that stormwater should be diverted from that area. The stormwater plan was modified to remove infiltration ponds from the protection area that will be a lined wet pond in that area, ornamental in nature, not used for stormwater infiltration. That plan was reviewed by Tidewater Utilities in reference to the wellhead situation, and it has no objection. There's a letter dated April 25th, 2018, about that, no objection, because there would be no infiltration there. I want to address Will King Road now, and if we can go back to where the Dorman picture was. Thank you, Janelle. Right there. You see to the right of that, that's Will King Road that comes on to Connie's Chapel. And the reason I'm mentioning that is because it was brought to the developer's attention that there's been some stormwater issues on Will King Road. And the Will King stormwater is being discussed with the county engineer. It's not on our property, but we know about it. Apparently, the county is assessing the extent of the problem so they can determine the best solution. The applicant has agreed to dedicate an area for the county to install best management practice so that the runoff can be better managed. The applicant is also providing capacity in their stormwater conveyance system to provide safe conveyance of that runoff to stable the outfall. No details of these plans have been made. But and Brock can talk more detail about this. We've agreed to designate an area on our property to help that discharge, if possible. And those discussions are underway. But as I said, there's no details. Excuse me. The site is located in the Cape Antelope School District. Love Creek Elementary School and Beacon Middle Schools are located on Route 24, about 4 miles away. Excuse me. The development will be provided fire protection service by Joint Lewis-Rehoboth Station, which is also located on Route 24. Now, if we can go back, Janelle, if you don't mind, to the community plan. There it is. As to the design development, the subdivision will contain 234 single-family lots. The minimum lot size is 8,750 square feet. And the average lot size is 10,000 square feet, 10,272 exactly. The overall, and again, the cluster allows for 7,500. The overall density is under 2, which is allowed. It's 1.9 lots per acre in compliance with the permitted AR1 cluster density requirement. A buffer of 50 feet, not 30, 50 feet, will be provided between the boundary of the property and any lot lines. Of that 50 feet, 30 feet will be landscaped or forested. 50.45 acres of the site will be open space, which is 43% of this site. The vast majority of lots adjacent to some form of open space, as you can see. Some of that open space, obviously, is ponds. Another feature you can see, if I'm going to talk about the recreation area, right in the middle is the recreation area. And if you look at, and I'm sorry, we don't have a slide for this. Do we have a slide for it? There it is. But also in your book, in the executive summary, there's a picture of a rendition of what they intend to build. It's in the first section. And that will be a minimum of 3,500 square feet, and it will be required to be built when 90 units are complete, which is fairly reasonable. There's also a pool there and another pond. And if you can go back,
Janelle, I'm sorry to the bigger site plan. Yeah, there. You'll notice, and you might look at your books, but all these pond areas has access areas that are not lots on the various roads that you can enter the pond areas as common area. And in each one of those areas, there'll be benches, not very elaborate, but there'll be sitting areas so anybody can access. It'll be common area. Just, we call them, or developers call them, I didn't know this till recently, pocket parks. But they're small places to hang out or walk your dog, right? And pick up after your dog.
No long-eared mules.
Nope. I've talked about the community center. The recreation area will contain community clubhouse, bathhouse with swimming pool, a splash park, tennis court, pickleball, or other sports center, and that's located on the other slide. I'm sorry. All right, I wanted something unique to Insight, which is definitely worth mentioning, and they've done this in some of their other developments, is their energy efficiency. All of the common area of the development, including the recreational area, will be designed to be energy neutral. What that means is that the electrical power for street lights, recreation area lights, pool equipment, landscape lights, and fountains will come from solar energy sources, and all electrical features will utilize energy-efficient design. The system will have conventional energy backup if the system generates excess amounts of electricity that can be put back into the grid for credits. Subdivision streets will be private, built to county standards, with sidewalks on both sides of the street, curb and gutters, and street lights. There will be two entrances to the development. We've already discussed the one on Dorman development, both constructed to DelDOT standards, one from Robinsonville Road and one from Dorman Road. Both entrances will have water features on both sides of the entrance road, providing an attractive open vista into the development. It's anticipated that the subdivision would be constructed in approximately four phases, and we are proposing that the recreational amenity would be required to be completed after issuance of 90 building permits. I already mentioned that. The subdivision will have a homeowners association comprised of all lot owners. The HOA will be responsible for collecting assessments, enforcing the community covenants, and maintaining the development roads, entrances, recreational area buffers, stormwater management facilities, and all other common areas. And although your council's disappeared, we sent him a letter to that effect, the standard letter that memorializes that. So, if I may conclude, there's a lot of information in your book. I hope you've had the opportunity to go through it. That documents this. Section 6 specifically spells out all the 99.9C requirements in response to that. You have the plus response that's in your Appendix B. The DelDOT, we've recently got their response to TIS, which is consistent with what we've represented here. I know a lot of people in this area have concern about traffic, and because of this project, it's anticipated that could be improved by some of this development, these intersections. I have Brock Parker here, who can take any questions about the engineering aspect of the subdivision, stormwater especially. He's had some significant discussions, especially with the efforts on Will King Road, even though they're not on our property. Betty's here as far as traffic, and I have Jack Hayes here that can talk a little bit more about sewer if you have any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Orville. We'll see who has questions for you. This is a permitted use. We'll start with Mrs. Hoey Stevenson.
I was just curious if people would have access to walk around the ponds or just to get in toward them.
I think they have. Jack, you want to take that? Or I'm sorry, Brock. Did you hear the question?
Yes, ma'am. All the ponds will be...
State your name and address for the record.
Apologies. Brock Parker. I'm with Parker & Associates, 528 Riverside Drive, Salisbury, 21801. Yes, all the ponds that we have designed on the project are on fee simple property to be owned and maintained by the Homeowners Association. Each of those ponds will have fee simple frontage upon one of the roads internal to the subdivision. So potentially a pedestrian could walk on Homeowners Association property all the way around the pond and either out the other side if we have another fee simple strip on that side of the pond or come back to where they are.
Okay.
The way the ponds are designed, we are holding a minimum, I think, of 15 or 20 feet from the top of slope of the pond to the actual property line, so there is plenty of room for pedestrians to walk.
Okay. And that will be in the covenants that people will... I'm just saying that people move into their homes and then they assume that everything behind their house is theirs, and when somebody walks back there, there's a big old fuss. So yeah. I just wanted to make sure that that would be...
That would be a no-no, yes.
Okay. The non-agricultural type people, you know.
No long-eared mules.
I'm sorry. I'm
long-eared dogs, maybe.
Okay.
We talked about that one for a while.
Yeah. Anyway, this actually really has nothing to do with whether this could be approved or not, but I'm curious as to the solar energy part. Is that going to be directly run through a battery system, or are you going to be just selling back to the grid?
This will be a good Jack question.
I'm Jack Hayes. I live in Annapolis, Maryland, and I'm the CFO of Insight Homes. It's a very interesting concept, and it's going to be a kind of a standard that we will do in any of the developments that we do. But the concept is solar energy can be collected in any number of different ways. It can be collected on site. It can be collected on site. For instance, Mr. Lyle owns about 500,000 square feet of industrial park properties. If you take just one of those buildings in Nanticoke Business Park, it's 2 acres of area on top of that roof. That can be a collection area for solar energy, which puts back into the grid. So the concept is we're going to have a collection center of solar energy that can be portioned out to different properties. The people in this subdivision, for instance, would have units that they could go in and get credits from DPL for their energy use in the site.
Okay.
There can be pergolas, solar pergolas scattered around the site, which can also contribute. When it's a cloudy day and there's not enough energy being produced, yes, there is the opportunity to use battery power and storage, or conventional means. There will always be a backup system to where no one is going to be without lights. As they go back on the solar energy, the meter spins the other way, for lack of a better description, and they get credits.
Right. Okay, that was answer my husband's actually energy expert. We talk about things like this at our house all the time.
Page 2 of the executive summary kind of elaborates a little bit more on what Jack has indicated.
All right. The only other concerns I have or questions I have is I'm always concerned about where kids are going to be getting on the bus for school, and I understand you'll have to discuss that with the district when that comes around, but wherever it is that the school bus stop would be, I would ask that you put a place where parents could pull their cars off the road, and to just, it doesn't have to be big, just someplace that they're not right in the middle of everything while everybody's trying to get to work, and the kids don't have to stand outside. We also ask that you check with the post office or the postmaster, because they're on the big,
yep,
no post, no boxes anymore. I'm curious about the stormwater with Wilking Road and what you might be proposing there.
I don't mean to be vague, but there's nothing, no details. But we were made aware that and Wilking has a problem, and this is a pretty good site without a problem. So we've offered, and Brock, maybe you can say what the discussions have been with.
Sure. Meeting with Sussex County, it was immediately identified that Wilking area, the Wilking Road area, just has immensely poor drainage. During larger rain events, even smaller rain events, they tend to flood. So Hans over at Sussex County has asked us, is there something that we can do as a joint venture together to alleviate that concern? So what we've done in the overall design of Acadia is we've identified that area closest to the Wilking area with, a 2 or 3 acre site, or just an adequately sized pond. My original computations, or my computation at the time, take in about 22 acres of residentially developed area, brings it into our system. It provides some level of management, whether it's the quantity and the quality measurement, and then it flows it through our entire collection.
Excuse me, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're talking back there, we hear it up here, and then we can't hear the speaker. So please keep your no conversation whatsoever. Yes, sir.
Sure. So Hans is very concerned about TMDL reduction, you know, cleaning that water, because currently it is unmanaged water that's kind of just sitting on the road. So we're going to collect it. We're going to route it through our system. I've provided full management capacity and conveyance through our system down to our overall outfall, which is just on the other side of Robinsonville Road.
So, thank you.
Now, details are still a little fuzzy, but
that gives me the no.
But we definitely have the capacity and the ability and the desire to do something.
My last question then is, do you have any kind of a work schedule as to what days of the week you might be working? I've just been getting a lot of calls lately from neighbors of another development as to why there's work every Sunday and can't they get a day's rest? So anyway, so I'm just curious if you have that, any concept of that already in your mind?
I'd have to defer it to Jack on that. He probably don't know. We'd obviously be bound by whatever the laws are. And if there's a condition you're concerned with, I'm sure you could place it on there. Monday through Friday, I'm sure that if they want to do it in phases,
right.
Is work during normal business hours, Monday through Friday. But I hadn't proposed that in my proposed conditions.
I didn't. This is not the first development Insight's done. So, what is your normal work schedule? I'm just curious.
Just out of experience, so there's a lot of our subs that do like to do some work on Saturdays, mm-hmm. But I don't believe that we allow people to be on our sites on Sundays. They work long days during the week, and sometimes they will come in on Saturdays and work as well. Certainly, whatever we do is going to be in compliance with county ordinance, so we will observe that.
And to be a little bit more specific, I have proposed conditions that I'm going to give to the commission. One of them is deliveries of dirt, fill, or other similar materials shall only be made to or from the site between the hours of 8 a.m. and 5 a.m. Monday through Friday.
Right.
So that delimits the heavy equipment for those days anyway.
Right. We usually put that as a condition in, but just in the whole, would you mind if we put it, I don't want to, there's a lot of people living around here, so I just need to at least give them Sunday that there's not going to be.
I think that's, as council just mentioned, I think that's more than acceptable. One of the things that this subdivision does is it does have two entrances.
Yes.
And in our phasing plan, we're going to be very cognizant of trying to bring heavy traffic through an existing subdivision where, there's kids or people out and about, and we don't want a 16-wheeler come whipping by with. So we do try to phase it and construct it in such a manner as the least amount of impact on the existing residences as we're building it.
Okay, thank you.
Also, one of our proposed conditions is, and this is pretty standard, you've already alluded to it, is a school bus shelter shall be provided on the final site plan. You don't see it there. And the developers coordinate and cooperate with local school districts for locations.
Great.
So I'm going to hand that out when you're done with us.
Thank you. Copy.
So to get the drainage from Will King Road all the way back to Robinsonville, Mr. Parker was explaining that you're going to put a pond in. Maybe it's clear, but not to me. You all must have additional land.
Can you go?
For this pond you would be putting in. Where would that pond
be? The pond is shown on our site plan as up in the tip corner.
Right.
Oh, so you'd be bringing all the water, whatever this issue is at Wilkin Road, it would then travel along the side of, maybe it already does. Does it travel alongside?
Yeah, there's roadside ditches in Wilkin. How Hounds gets it to us is one of the details that you have to be worked out. But we do have significant depth in that pond to get some sort of conveyance from Wilking to us.
So the natural natural flow of the water is across your property now, is that correct?
This site is somewhat of an engineer's dream. It's a 20 to a 22-foot fall in elevation from the Wilking area to the Robinsonville Road area.
Gotcha.
So we're kind of just flowing the water away.
Wow.
As soon as I saw it, I said, that's fantastic. I think I can get something to work here.
Absolutely. Yeah,
it didn't look like that when I rode by.
Yeah, it's a monster.
That's wild. That's great. All right, thank you for that.
Big difference. Yeah.
Seems funny that there would be any issues anywhere near there if there's that kind of fall.
Kind of fall, yeah.
We're in Sussex County.
Okay, great. Well, you should be able to fix that. On clubhouses, do we have a standard for what percentage of the development?
Halfway through, a lot of times, is what we've okay. What we've done with.
That's fair enough.
Yeah, we're aware it's halfway. We've recommended something a little less, so we think it's fair.
There's nothing in code.
Well, I mean, they're doing a lot better than half. They want to do it at 90, and there's 234, so that's, what, 35% or something?
I think another way that they look at it, we used to try to do this by time, and we got in a lot of trouble doing that, so we stopped doing that, and we started doing it by number of units. But I think the applicants are probably still looking at the number of units per year and how long do they think they can make folks wait for those amenities and so on. So a couple years or halfway through, and it sounds like you're probably about 2 year, if you're doing 90, you're probably planning to do 40 or 50 homes a year, so that would be in a couple of years. That's not too bad.
Okay, sounds good. I don't have any other questions.
Mr. Whitley, you want to continue?
I have no questions. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Hudson?
No questions, thanks.
I know you proffered sidewalks on both sides of the street.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And you're,
don't
I
come
guess,
back.
Yeah, that's,
yeah,
I'm just
sidewalks on both sides.
That's where I'm.
Hear that?
Don't come back.
Yeah, because once you proffer it, we have. You understand? Okay, just so you understand.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, that's. I have no other questions, Mr. Whitehouse.
I have just one very quick technical question, if I could, please. Probably for Mr. Hayes or Mr. Parker. The renewable energy, then the solar is quite interesting. In my experience, these types of schemes require a large number of inverters, depending on how many panels you have. Is the plan ultimately to put the inverters in the dwellings, or would they require inverters to be scattered throughout the scheme? Just, it might have implications for the open space figure, that's all.
Yeah, I can't take that one. Although I have solar panels on my house. It's and maybe I'm going off the target here, but is the inverter the thing that sits on the side of the house like a box?
Yes, so they can go in the roofs of the properties, or they can go in the properties, yeah. or they can, for a large scale scheme, they can be dotted as independent.
Well, and Jack may weigh in on this. You know, their plan for the energy efficiency is a lot for the lights, the recreational area, and I'm sure that the residents can opt in on their own solar if they like.
That's correct. We won't. What the homeowner does is what the homeowner can do and whatever the declarations allow them to do. And that'll certainly be covered in the declarations when we put them together. But this design is to take care of all of the common areas, all of the pool, the clubhouse, the street lights. The street lights are going to be high output, low voltage type lights, LEDs. And there's actually a picture of one of the lights that we're installing in a couple of our subdivisions in the book, to kind of give you an idea of what they look like. It's very difficult to probably say all of it's going to be on site. There will probably be production centers off site that are going to contribute to that credit. But the idea is that the homeowner will look at his budget for his HOA and never see an electric bill. That's the idea.
Thank you.
My personal experience is the inverter is not too intrusive, little more than maybe like you would have in a, you know, the old-fashioned one.
You can have lots of little ones, or you can have a few larger ones to serve like a block of properties, and that was my question, really. So.
Well, on a sunny day, it's nice to see it spinning backwards, though.
Thank you.
Any? None, thank you.
Okay, if you take a seat, we'll see if anyone has any interest in your application.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So anyone here like to speak in favor of subdivision 2018-1 Acadia? In favor. Anyone like to speak in opposition to this application? Yes, sir. In the blue shirt.
Good evening. James Mayfield. I live at 22175 Hollyoak Lane. That's the neighborhood that's not represented on the first picture. Looks like we're forest. Well, that's not forest. Okay, the other picture shows just forest. That's a neighborhood back there. We're a neighbors. I think for myself, I'll go back to the one of the previous hearings today. Agricultural person, I think that fits well with this. I moved from the city 25 years ago to get away from lights, traffic, noise, and you're going to put it in my backyard. I'll have 5 houses behind my 1 acre lot. I don't think that's fair for me or for my neighbors sitting back there. Traffic, if any of you've driven in that area, the one entrance going out of Dorman Road and Conley's Chapel, you can't get out on that in the morning. Now, go down Conley's Chapel Road to Beaver Dam. Try to get out on Beaver Dam in the morning. It's can't do it. Go the opposite way to 24. There's a traffic light, but 24 all the way up to 1 is backed up because now we got two schools and more developments in 24. Where are we going? You guys are going to landlock us with 200 homes more adding to our area. My house is on an acre. Most houses in that area are half acre, acre, 2 acres, large lots. What are these, an eighth of an acre? What's that doing for our value of our homes? You know, I moved there because it's country. You know, I got people that respect our neighbors, acre lots, you know, little elbow room. Not this development. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Who's next? Yes, sir. Young lady. Young lady, yes. Just a reminder, this is a permitted use within the AR zone.
Hi, my name is Susan Morissette. I reside at 22265 Holyoke Lane, the land that has been totally neglected in this conversation. In fact, you represent it as a bunch of trees. We live there. My backyard butts up against that farm. I bought that property specifically because it was a farm. I look at these plans and all I see is water. We already have water issues on Holyoke Lane. We have a huge water issue with Will King. I don't believe you taking in more water, putting on the property behind my house, and you're going to control this water in a manner that's not going to affect my property or value my property in the decrease as opposed to the increase. Don't ever tell me that my house is going to go up in value because you're putting 37 of them behind mine. That's not how it works. I'm really, really concerned about the mosquitoes. Everywhere I look on your plan, it's water. It's water. It's water. So we've got that. Now, you're talking about city water. Is our little alcove going to be enforced to get plugged into the city line? We're not. We're on well. We like it that way. We don't want to pay the additional expense. That's the reason I moved here from D.C. I like the space. I don't want somebody in my backyard. I'm really curious how long this is going to take. You've got one entrance at my entrance on Dorman, and you've got one entrance down on 24 at Conley's Chapel. Are we doing this in phases? Does that mean those 2,000 cars that are going to start pushing out of one entrance is going to affect my travel off of Dorman and Conley's Chapel? That's a great concern to me. I'm really, really concerned about Sussex County. They can't grade a road. You're not telling me they're going to be able to grade 117 acres of land so that I don't have water issues. I don't want water issues. Again, I'd like to know how long it's going to take to do this. I'm really concerned about the fact that Holyoke Lane has been completely dismissed in this entire presentation. They haven't addressed the street. We butt up against this proposal. Thank you.
The applicant testified that it would be done in phases. Deltot typically requires the road improvements to be done up front before any building permits are issued. Before they'll give them their entrance permit. As long as they start substantial construction, there is no deadline for when it will be finally completed. Who's next? Yes, sir.
My name is Carlos Centeno, and I live on 31201 Conley's Chapel Road. The second house, so if we can bring that picture with Will King's Road with the water problem. I am the house with the pool right there.
Gotcha.
Opposite of that, right there, there's on the property. Right here in the field, there's a pipe that travels from there right through my property. It dumps all that water from that section there. I can't believe that you guys say that it's dry when it's not. There's a pit right where that hand is, and it fills up with water, and it dumps it right towards my property. I spoke to DelDOT about that. They has not responded. They put another development behind me, put a pond, and they raised the pond above ground level So now all the water that travels from that pipe gets trapped on the back of my and fills into my pool. I've been having that trouble since that development went in, and I'd like to know what's going to happen with that pipe.
Well, what the applicant testified is they're working with the county engineer to solve the water issues on the properties along Wilking Road, and they're going to try to...
I'm not on Wilking's Road.
Well, you're adjacent to that.
I'm on Conley's Chapel.
But I think...
Opposite.
Okay, we'll ask the...
I didn't mention that.
Okay, I'll ask the question, okay?
Thank you.
Sir, would you like to address that?
I have a feeling that we're going to be very good friends to this gentleman.
I think you are, too.
We are going to resolve the issues in this general vicinity, not just along Wilking Road.
Well, can you just show us up there how it's going to...
Where's the water going to flow?
The first thing that Hans meant was the pond that the gentleman preceding to me mentioned. That pond was designed as an infiltration pond. It has failed.
Where the hand is?
Actually behind that.
Behind swimming. That?
Yes, yes. And then there's another one across the street that is on the on the verge of failing as well. Then as you go up Will King, there's also drainage on both sides of the road in the form of ditches that just don't drain anywhere.
And so you're going to bring this water this way?
We're going to provide a collection system on Will King Road to pick up that pond area as well as the ditches along Will King Road. We're going to bring it under the road and into our collection system, which will be picking up the end of the pipe or the drainage area that pipe now serves.
So it certainly should improve the situation, if not totally correct.
Yeah, at a bare minimum, his testimony was that pipe drains across to his lot. We're certainly not going to continue that condition.
No,
we're going to capture all of our own water on that road as well as along...
Well, you're required to by law, so...
Yes, as well as the wooded subdivision that was mentioned earlier as well.
Can you show us then from the pond, from the proposed pond, stormwater pond that you're going to install, the water that this water problem is going to run into,
okay,
which is...
Sure.
Where it is, and then how will it run? Where will it go? Does it go towards Robinsonville?
Yeah, basically everything's going to come down. It's going to hit in that corner pond first. Then we've got the ponds chained together until we get to back here, at which point we have a trunk storm drain that comes down. These will be chained together. They'll join in, and then they'll come down Robinsonville Road. So they all will be interconnected into a single level.
So each pond collects, and then as they overflow, they run out.
We provided what they call a treatment train, which is the same water gets treated several times over.
Sure. Okay, I understand.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
The pond that you say that failed, is that just off of Will King?
Yes, it's as you come off.
Right, directly behind that gentleman's
exactly.
house, right?
Yes.
Okay. It's an L-shaped pond? I think it is.
Yeah, there it is right up there.
Yeah, okay.
Do you know, like off the top of your head, for example, like what would that elevation be up there on Will King?
Oof. Yeah, that's a tough one. We haven't ventured up into Will King yet, but I know the pond that I'm designing to accept that drainage is 4 to 5 feet deep, which is certainly enough. And I believe it goes downhill towards us from there.
You can create fault.
So the original design to build the infiltration pond behind his house, it just failed.
Yes.
So you're going to basically flow the opposite direction.
Well, I don't necessarily want to get into that specific pond itself. You know, the Sussex County is evaluating the whole region to determine really where the problems are, where they are,
but
how
the
best.
But apparently, what we understand is water is currently being collected on your development side of Conley Chapel and flows through a pipe onto this gentleman's property, and that's not going to happen anymore.
No, that will be, if that condition is present, it will be terminated.
That wet spot will now go towards your development instead of sheeting back across onto his property.
100% of our property's runoff will be collected and routed internally.
And go in the opposite direction from his house down towards Robinson.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Anyone else speaking up? Yes, sir.
My name is Frank Gino. I'm a past president of Hollyoaks Homeowners Association. A number of years ago...
Your address, please, sir.
Pardon?
Your address.
22454 Hollyoaks.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Anyway, while I was president of our association, we had, first of all, the 100 years rain, which flooded Dorman Road. All right. Because of that, I ended up writing a letter to the Planning and Zoning Commission, the engineering people, about the woods of Burton Pond, not the woods of Burton Pond, that issue. The reason being, that area can force water into where the dump site is off of Dorman Road, and we have a braided blue line stream that goes from that through our property and goes into Burton Pond, okay? You put more houses on the other side of us where we had problems with flooding from the farmer's field hitting the last, I don't know if you can see it on there, but in our development back here in this corner, in here, all right? In that area, the house back there, two houses back there, had water up to their floorboards in their house because of the runoff from the farm and also all this stuff. In fact, in Wyndham was not supposed to build a house in a circle right near our development. They have since built it, since somehow or another came through council. We have a water problem on there for one thing, which is still going to be there, and it's going to get worse. All right, that's one. Secondly, the two roads that you have leading in and out of that place, how many children are going to be in there? How many buses are going to be trying to come out, or people parking at the entrances when I try to get out of my development and go to Conley Chapel or go down to 24? I won't be able to get out of 24. I think you might as well put a sign on 24 on Dorman Road going on to 24 that says no left-hand turn, because you can't get out of here nowadays. Traffic is backed up from that one light at Angola up beyond Burton Pond. And on top of that, you're going to have another development on the other side of Burton Pond that's putting 200 and some odd houses in there. How are we going to move? I have enough room in my backyard to have a helicopter.
Thank you. Who's next? Anyone else? Yes, sir.
My name is Todd Williams. I live at 22337 Dorman Road. And everyone's speaking about the water issues that we have, and they're absolutely right. I've lived at my spot for 18 years, and the 22 foot that the gentleman was talking about, the elevation, he's right. It's 22 feet, and it drops right into Holyoke, just as the gentleman here was just talking about. When the 100-year rains came, that area that the gentleman was just talking about, the cul-de-sac that wasn't supposed to be built on, was a lake. And the people that built the houses there was Insight Homes. So, something's got to be done. And also with the traffic. I was here a month ago, and we talked about the simpler farm, which is right across from my house. We're going to deal with the same issues. We're going to deal with traffic. You've heard from everyone here, traffic and water, that's the biggest issues on Dorman Road. And until they're fixed, are you looking out for us as the homeowners on Dorman or Sussex Countyans, or are you looking out for these builders that are building these huge monstrosity developments? Thank you.
Thank you. There was a traffic impact study completed for the project. And DLDOT did review that traffic impact study, and the result of that TIS and the DLDOT review is why the road improvements that are being made are being made. Anyone else want to speak in opposition? Yes, sir.
My name's Harry Ferreni. I live at 32254 Augusta Court in the Wyndham development. I'm concerned also about the water. Probably one of the houses in the area that has a dry cellar with no water. And that's concerned with me building across, right across from us with all these water ponds. Are they all going to have water in them all the time?
They're wet ponds, as they
or are going to be dry ponds. I mean, ours is a dry pond that we have, the retention there, and we don't get a lot of water in it from then. When it gets big rains, we get some water in it. That's what my concern is about. Also, too, is what kind of a buffer is there from the property line of the development to the back of the property's houses along the edge, like Wyndham's Association right now? You see the line where it says Southern Pines?
There's a 20-foot buffer around the entire...
You know, how many feet will be a buffer?
20 foot.
20 feet only?
I believe the applicant said there's going to be a 50-foot buffer,
yeah.
30 of which would be landscaped or forested.
Be a 50-foot buffer.
50-foot buffer with 30 planted.
The code requires 20, so the applicant is in excess of the code.
Okay. I was just looking at that and saying how many, well, I counted real quick, that was 18 water ponds.
Well, the state law, the current stormwater management law requires that no more water can run off the land than currently runs off, and they're supposed to contain their stormwater management. That whole process gets done through the Soil Conservation Service, so they'll either meet that requirement or they won't get their stormwater management permit.
I mean, they're going to have water in them all the time or just...
They were, my understanding was they were wet ponds, yes.
Wet ponds. So they're going to have irrigation in them, like a lot of you see fountains running and stuff?
It's quite possible, yeah.
You know, not that we have more mosquitoes.
Well, that should help with the mosquitoes, but we don't regulate mosquitoes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Who's next? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
My name is Gail Gino. I live at 22454 Holyoke Lane. I am also a past president of the Holyoke Association. My question is, when did DLDOT do the impact study for roads?
Well, there's a date on here. Let me see if I can't find it for
and,
you.
How did they come up with their results?
March 20th, 2018 is when the findings were submitted to DLDOT. Well, I mean, it's in the file here that was available to you, and they're so extensive that I'm not going to read them all. But the entire impact study is and has been available in the application.
Okay, my question is, right now, you've heard everybody speak about Dorman Road, Conley Chapel. Right now, you have four or five developments along Dorman Road. You have Lockwood, you have Richfield, you have Holyoke. You have Wyndham, and one of the things on Wyndham, which you guys probably aren't aware of, or you, is that when we had the 100-year rains, Wyndham's water, and planning and zoning was there at the time, they were out looking at our development, because our development was flooded, the whole back of it was flooded, Dorman Road was closed because there was so much water. Wyndham was actually pumping water, it was so high that it was going across into the fields. Now, my question is, you're saying the impact study was done for the roads. You have two entrances into this new development. Where are you going to put some more roads?
We don't put the roads in, ma'am. The state of Delaware does.
Who does?
DLDOT does, the state of Delaware.
Okay, my question is, when can we find out from DLDOT what they're planning to do about additional roads? This is a very legitimate question.
Well, I mean, the long-range capital improvement plan is posted every year. It's reviewed on an annual basis, and then there's a five-year, I think it's a five or a six-year, Rob.
Well,
I think it's 5 years. Well, it's six, but there's four-year construction
well,
and
yeah,
two-year
yeah,
study.
Well, five.
So 4 year, but, you know, that's a state process of review for road improvements. There's a recent list that just came out. Most of the improvements to local roads, such as these, are being done by the developers as they develop property. So the local road improvements can't occur unless developments are approved because there's no money for it.
So, wait a minute. I don't know if I misunderstood that. So the developer?
Is footing the bill for the road improvements, yes.
Oh, okay. So you're the developers? Are you going to develop?
Ma'am.
No,
you have,
I can't answer.
No, you cannot.
Okay. Before the developments are actually started to be built, before we would like to get a copy tell me where to get the copy, and the road developments, so that we know where extra roads are going to be put. We have no way of getting out of our development as it stands.
Well, the road improvements will be made before the first building issue permit is issued.
So that we can see these?
You won't have a chance to review them. Now, that's something that DLDOT will work with the applicant on internally. It's their permitting process, not ours.
Okay, but is there a way that the homeowners can see these also?
I don't know how public the documents are, but
I would have to think that there is. I mean, I just for the because of the nature of what it is. But honestly, I don't know what the process would be. But what I would suggest that you do, the roads are controlled by the state. So what you want to do is contact your state representative and your state senator, talk to them, and they should be able to give you some advice on where to go and what to do. About that, because the state really has a jurisdiction over the roads. The road improvements that they showed on the screen, did you see that when they had up there what they're thinking of doing? And that's at their expense. If this even gets approved, it will be at the developer's expense, but it'll be under the supervision and approval of DLDOT. Now, whether DLDOT will incorporate any additional improvements along with that, which they sometimes do, we don't have any way of knowing, and we don't have any control over it. But I think as far as being able to get to see what's going on, I know a lot of times the applicants are pretty cooperative, and if they know you have an interest in them, they might be willing to meet with you, or at least get you a copy of the drawings. But your state representative and your state senator, you should contact them and discuss. In fact, all of you should, really, every one of you should call your state senator and your representative and express your concerns, and they should be able to at least give you some advice.
Okay, can I ask you one more question?
Sure.
The state. Now, mm-hmm. Where does the state do these impact studies? Do they do it up Dover? Do they come down here? Do they look at the roads down here?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what they're studying. They're studying the roads that are in an area. When they do these studies, they have a meeting to decide what's going to be studied, and they will stake out an area. And sometimes it can go miles away from where the proposed development is. Just depends on what the scope of the study is. So yeah, I mean they're coming down here. I mean if your question is do they ever come down here and see what the situation is? Well, sure they do, and that's how those studies are put together, and they are done at peak times. I know a lot of folks think, well, they must be coming in the winter when there's no traffic here. That's not how it works.
I was thinking more like 2 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I mean there's.
Look around this summer. If you see some guy sitting on the side of the road in a chair, and you're like, "What the heck is it? Somebody sitting there?"
Or a tube stretched across the road so that everybody can run over it. That's what that is.
In this particular impact, the site access and Robbinsville Road, Sussex Road 277, was in the study. The site access and Dorman Road, Sussex Road 288, was AA was in the study. Dorman Road and Conley's Chapel Road, Sussex Road B was in the study. Beaver Dam Road, Sussex Road 285 and Conley's Chapel Road was in the study. Beaver Dam Road and Stokely Road, Sussex Road 280. Beaver Dam Road, Holly Mount Road, Sussex Road 48. Conley's Chapel Road and Robinsonville Road. Delaware 24, Robinsonville Road and Angola Road. Delaware 24 and Johnlands Way, Sussex Road 289. And Delaware Road 24, Camp Arrowhead Road, Sussex Road 279, Fairfield Road. Those 10 roads were all part of this study. They also studied the impacting intersections along Beaver Dam Road at Delwood, Coastal Club, Pelican Point, Independence, Vineyard at Nassau, Lewis Crossing, Woodbridge, and the Woods at Burton Pond and Heron Bay. And they did a second group B of impacting intersections along Route 24 of Cape Henlopen Elementary School, Pelican Landing, Marsh Island, Marsh Farmer States, Saddle Ridge, Rehoboth Point Yacht Club. I would say it was pretty comprehensive.
Well, I'm not saying it wasn't. I was just curious as to where they were when they did this, because I know when I was out on 24 today, it wasn't even 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It was dead stopped. That's 24. Then you're talking about traffic from Holyoke getting out there onto the road.
Right.
I'm sorry, but you know, I feel that there's, you need more study done. I really do.
Ma'am, would you like to have the traffic impact study?
Can I keep it?
You can keep it.
When do I have to give it back to you?
You can keep it. I'll borrow Mr. Hopkins to read again.
Thank you very much.
And I think Mr. Wheatley is correct. Regarding roads, your state legislators are the ones to speak to. Anyone else to speak in opposition? Yes, sir.
It's okay. I'm taking notes. I've got
it. Yes, sir.
My name's Joe O'Hara. I live at 22379 Holyoke Lane. And my concern is, is the developer giving us any guarantees that our area won't flood after they put their development in?
I think they're going to have to give a guarantee to the state of Delaware that the water runoff from their site will be controlled by their site.
Yeah, but I believe we had that and at Windham and we didn't get it.
Well, they're going beyond that in their testimony. We'll see how that works out and trying to work with the county to solve some of those problems, but who knows?
If we get flooded and it affects our property values, is this developer going to give us money back?
Are you being flooded today without this property being developed?
Pardon?
Are you being flooded today without this property being developed?
Not often, no. Just the one time.
One time? Well,
and
then
from Windham, yes, if the one time.
Well, then I guess this property
that's what
is
our concern is how do you handle the runoff?
Well,
if you start to get flooding, then you call the...
Pardon me?
If you start to get flooding, then you call the Soil Conservation District
service,
and they'll send somebody out. And
okay.
They're supposed to make that...
And then
if
the developer's gone already, what do?
Most of the time, the flooding, in my experience, is that, you know, the ditch system is a tax system. So that means it's been developed through a court order and a voluntary system. And if that system's not maintained, then everything backs up along the way. Generally, Sussex County is fairly flat topography-wise, so we don't have a lot of fall. So if there's debris in the ditches or the ditches aren't maintained or people build within the easements where they can't maintain the ditch system, then everybody on that system suffers because of it. And everybody wants to blame everybody else, but it's usually right in their backyard or their neighbor's backyard where the problem is.
Has the developer done any plans on the runoff? You know,
they're going to have to before, if this gets approved, they'll have to get a permit from the Soil Conservation District or it will not proceed.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Anyone else? Speak in opposition. One trip to a customer, sir. I'm sorry. Anyone else like to speak in opposition?
Going once.
I'm giving you time to send your message forward. Are you two married?
Yeah.
No.
Well, there's your trouble.
There's your problem. Okay. Seeing no one else rise in opposition, does anyone on the commission have any questions? Mr. Will, do you want to present your...
Yeah, normally we give it to your attorney.
That's okay. Ms. Cornwell.
For both conditions.
Now Ms. Cornwell has two titles. Anyone on the commission have any other questions? Mr. Whitehouse?
No, thank
Smith?
You.
No. Ms. Cornwell, do you have any questions?
One more question?
None, thanks.
You can if you like.
Mr. Parker, where is the final effluent location?
That's a good question.
On the site? Is it going to be down here on the Holyoke subdivision or the Windsor, or is it going to be up around Robinsonville? Is there a tax ditch somewhere?
I'm glad you invited me back up. May I regale you for just a second? If you can go back to the overall aerial, just a couple of thoughts for you. If you look at this aerial of the property, you see a white ridge line. Okay. Right where you see the red Acadia, you see a bright sandy ridge line there. That's a ridge line that pretty much divides the property. Half, probably 20, I don't want to make a percentage, but 20-30% of this property does drain towards the Holyoke subdivision. So currently, it does drain into that neighborhood. Our design is going to capture 100% of that runoff. So we are going to take, you know, our roads are going to be in cut. The rear of our lot lines will have piped drainage. During the new Sussex County drainage ordinance, we have to have piped drainage. I'm using a 48-hour extended detention treatment method, which requires 100% interception of our site. SED will require that. The ponds themselves will be designed to manage a 2, a 10, and a 100-year storm. Those ponds will be sized to manage those frequency storms based on just what goes to Robinsonville Road now. So from our pre-development storm, we are neglecting what's going to Holyoke. We're capturing it, but we can't count that in our outfall. So you could see what an over-management we're being forced to do by our ponds by doing this method. Each of these ponds will be wet. They will be irrigated or aerated with fountains. Most of them will. They will be anywhere from 3 to 4 feet deep. So they are going to promote the presence of mosquito predators. They will be aerated so that they're not stagnant water, so mosquitoes will be minimized. The overall outfall, finally getting around to your question, the overfall, as I mentioned, the ponds are trained together. We will then come down Robinson Road and we will cross Robinson Road into a piece of property that we own right here. There's a significantly deep ditch in there that we're crossing the road and tying into there with a stable outfall. Our runoff currently goes there now, so that's our point of study, not increasing the runoff there. So as far as failure, you know, they mentioned the pond over behind Wilking Road. That pond has failed because it's a purely infiltration pond. Our ponds are not infiltration. They can be basically bathtubs. They're just storing the water. The infiltration we get is a benefit that I've neglected in the design. I'm just counting just the storage in the ponds. The only way this system can fail is if the outfall pipe, which is a 36 or a 48-inch pipe, clogs. It's a plastic pipe. It's not going to fail. It's not going to rot. It's not going to rust. So the only way we're going to get it is if those pipes somehow get clogged up with an obstruction.
So the 20 feet, the 20-foot drop off, can you show us where that area is?
Yeah. As I mentioned, the ridge line comes in kind of like this. All of this water now goes that way. So from up here, we're in elevations of 22 and 24. Down in here, we're at 8 and 12.
And what is it at the Holyoke approximately?
It's, again, our highest point is a 22, 24. It falls off to 18 or 16 over.
So at the Holyoke area, it's an elevation 18 or 16. You're going to be running it through all of your ponds, and it's going to end up at an 8 to a 12.
Yes, what we're going to do is we're going to slide the ridge line to the common property line between Holyoke and ourselves. We're going to be moving some dirt when we build this project so that all of our runoff will be directed internal to the project.
It almost sounds like you're creating a buffer to collect the water that's currently sheeting across your property and going over to Holyoke, and you're going to capture it in your ponds and divert it and at almost a 10-foot difference of elevation from where Holyoke is now down to Robinsonville Road.
With respect to drainage, we're going to turn the Holyoke opponents into proponents because we're going to be capturing water that is flooding them currently.
And the property on Robinsonville Road, you said you already own that. So
yes.
We won't have any of those troubles. Is that property then going to remain? That's not a question for you.
I think we will retain ownership so that we can maintain the outfall if needed.
Okay. I don't know. Do we need to? That's where we need a lawyer.
If they ever decided to do something, Soil Conservation Service would have to address that.
I'm sure that what he's telling us is correct. If the Holyoke area is at an elevation 18 and his discharge pipe ends up at Robinsonville at an 8, there's no way the water's going to get back up at 10 feet.
No. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that
flood somebody else.
Once they drop the water off across Robinsonville Road, then they come back and say, hey, we want to put a development there where we're already dropping the water.
Well, that's the tax ditch, right? Robinson Road.
There would be an easement or an agreement to address that for the stormwater management on that side.
Okay.
So there's typically some type of legal agreement to address that because that is where they are discharging.
Okay. Yeah, and I'd be reluctant to try to get into a second future application within this public hearing.
He brought it up, so I wanted to.
Well, I heard him explain it is approximately 80 some percentage of the water is currently flowing there, but there's an area that does currently sheet the water down into Holyoke, and when they put their ponds in, they're going to be channeling all that water down to Robinsonville into the tax ditch.
We will be channeling that water into our internal ponds for management.
Right, into your ponds and through your piping system.
Yes, sir.
And it's going to end up down at Robinsonville
Road.
Yes,
but 100% of our post-developed site will be managed down to just that 80%, again, picking a percentage, that's going there now. So we're over-managing our site as it goes to Robinsonville Road.
I understand. Thank you.
Just to connect the dots a little further,
The property that you see outlined is the actual subdivision, but I'm going to walk over here. There's a 50-foot easement that has been acquired along this property from this landowner, who is the same landowner as this. We've acquired that easement for our stormwater piping to go through, and then it outlooks right here on this corner, and we actually own that property. That is a separate tax parcel that, when we acquire this, we'll own that as well. And so the system doesn't bleed off on here. The system doesn't flow that way.
Okay. Any other questions by members of the commission? Hearing none, we're going to close the public hearing. You're welcome to stay with us this evening, see if we can make a decision, or you may call the office in the morning. Our next public hearing.